Хөрхөн охи trap sons trap sons trap sons trap sons and trap don't sons trap don't sons trap Түүний сонс төг хөгжим дур булаа Дагаж дуудан дур була мууруулаа
Yo, what's up, people? Adam Hunter here. I'm giving you a great podcast today. I had a great conversation with Dean Thomas, the legend, the fighter. He's an actor. He's a coach. He's a dad. He's a husband. He's a great all-around guy. I want to thank Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California. Don't leave your house to get it, okay? Just have it delivered right to you. Go to speedweed.com. Follow them at Speedweed. They got great CBD. THC sex lube that my wife and I use, the THC sex lube. They have CBD stuff. They have vape pens. They have edibles. You name it, they have it. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. Check out Speedweed. Go to speedweed.com. Gino's a great guy. Definitely check that out. And the reason you're getting so many podcasts is because of Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N, rockfin.com/Adam Hunter. Rockfin is what you're getting. They are really, really good to me. It's a cool site that they really help put money into the hands of the content creators, and therefore I'm able to just do as many podcasts as I want, and I love doing it. They're awesome. They really support content creators. You get my stuff. You get Jordan Burroughs as a page. You get Chael Sonnen has a page up there. He's got all kinds of exclusive content. Ben Askren does. Front Row Brian. Aaron Weinbaum. If you're into politics, Mike Cernovich. If you're into comedy, Joey Medina. Steve Hofstetter. Great comedians. It's where everyone's going. Rockfin, okay? For $10 a month, you get everybody's stuff. But make sure when you endorse it, go to rockfin.com/Adam Hunter, because that helps me out, helps the podcast out, helps my wife and kids out, helps my cats out, my dog, everybody. So thank you so much. Let's talk to Dean Thomas.
The best coaches, great comedian, improv actor, all around great guy. Dean Thomas, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, you're good. So last night you were at Dana White's birthday party?
Yeah, man, me and Matt went out to Dana White's birthday party and a surprise party. It was incredible. Like, when you got more money than God, man, you could do anything at your party.
What was this party like?
Well, you know, he had what was his name? Don Henley from the Eagles or something like that.
Yeah.
Him perform. He had Gwen, like, if you have Gwen Stefani come and perform at your party, it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And me and Matt were the only two idiots to show up with presents, you know? I don't think so, but we showed up with like a kid's birthday party. We showed up with presents for Dana, as if he needs something. Yeah.
What did you get him?
Oh, I can't tell you because I don't think he got it yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I like it. And by the way, you're killing it as a coach. And I feel like you don't get the props that you deserve. You're the most underrated best coach out there right now.
Well, thank you very much, Adam. I certainly appreciate that. But, you know, for me, it doesn't matter for me to get the little props like that, man. I just like to see my people do well, man, and I'm just out there just trying to help my people do well. I'll stay under the radar. As long as my people are winning fights and can go home to their families and make some money, that's all I care about.
Right. No, you did great. By the way, last week, Jillian Robertson, she's looking better. She looked awesome.
Yeah, man, you know, we put a lot of work in, you know what I mean, and we have a good chemistry. I've known her since she was like 15 years old, like she started with me. So, you know, just being able to watch her grow and watch her develop, we got to do something about her hair. But, you know, besides that, everything is good.
Now, were you worried, though, when you looked across the octagon, that girl has like face tattoos, and I think Eric Anders called her Tekashi.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she got like the neck tattoo. She looked like Cody Garbrandt. So I was kind of like, uh-oh. But nah, you know, like that stuff doesn't bother me, man. Like for me, I almost feel like when people look that part, they're almost trying to, I almost feel like sometimes they try to play the part to intimidate people. So that never bothers me. So like if you have to actively intimidate somebody, there's an issue with your game. And I like that.
But like Joe Rogan kept saying, giving this girl accolades, how she's great at grappling and she's the this and that and this and that. And it seemed like she was like the favorite. And then Jillian just took her apart.
Yeah, well, you know, it's different, man. Like jiu-jitsu for like this girl's got a great competition background in jiu-jitsu, so like that's undeniable. But we trained for a different style of jiu-jitsu, and that's for MMA. And I wanted to test this girl's jiu-jitsu. Like, that was the game plan. We was like, hey, let's get it down and let's test her jiu-jitsu, see if she can hang with what we're doing. And I knew she wouldn't be able to because we coming up with all kind of new stuff. Adam, I'm going to put you on that, Adam. I'm going to show you some jiu-jitsu. It works for wrestling, too.
Man, I would absolutely love that. A while back, I tore my ACL and then doing jiu-jitsu. And then when I came back, I never really felt that confident with it. So I've been doing a lot of Muay Thai right now, but I want to get back into jiu-jitsu.
I'm saying, like, you do wrestling. Like, that's a lot worse for your knees than jiu-jitsu.
Not really, because no one's trying to, like, tap, like, torque your knee in a weird way to get you to tap out. They're just trying to.
Good point.
But I hear you, man. Now, a couple things. Number one, did you help prepare that Masvidal aspirin? Were you in Masvidal's corner for that?
No, I wasn't. I stayed out of that, man. I like both of those guys. I mean, you know, I'm just a big fan of Askren as you are, Adam. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love what Askren does and what he brings to the table. So, and same thing with George, man. Like, George is my homie from, you know, 2005, you know. So I wanted to stay out of that fight and just let them do their thing. But it didn't surprise me what happened, man. I mean, if he didn't hit him with that flying knee, it would have been a different fight. But it still doesn't surprise me that happened, man. I mean, that was kind of unfortunate, but – you know, it's the way the game is played, man. That's how the ball bounces sometimes.
What did you think about how he acted afterwards?
Who, George?
Yeah.
Man, it's fine. The way I see it, like, I mean, he almost killed Ben. Like, if we're not concerned about Ben's health, you know, I'm not concerned with what guys do afterwards. I mean, they earn the right. Like, George trained hard for that fight. I'm in the gym with him every day, and I watched him train for months preparing for Ben. So when he wins, he has the right to do whatever he wants. You know what I'm saying? And the important thing we need to be concerned about is Ben okay? I'm not concerned about some taunting. I don't care about that. But, you know, he had the right. He earned it. He knocked Ben Askren out. You earned the right to do that. So
yeah.
I had no problem with that.
I was a little concerned because I thought Ben might have been dead.
I mean, like, if Ben was dead in hindsight, it would have looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, and I just think Jorge's better than that. You know, like, I think it would have been more powerful if he just would have walked away or just, like, been, like, you know, like, kind of what, like, Tyron does. But I understand.
Yeah, but, no, but we got to understand, man. But Adam, it's the game, man. Like, we allow these guys to talk a bunch of trash leading up to the fight. They do their business. Then they get in there and they physically hurt each other. I mean, it's physical. They're hurting each other. And then when it's over, we expect them to be gentlemen. That's not going to happen. We got to accept the fact that, listen, especially a guy like George, I mean, he's from the street.
Yeah.
So, like, he don't play.
Did you ever talk shit? Did you ever talk crap to any of your opponents?
Nah, that's not my style, man. Like, for me, I always looked at my opponents as, like, obstacles. I never saw them as, like, a, you know, a threat, and I wanted to hurt them. It kind of bothers me sometimes. Like everybody gets mad at the guy's post-fight stuff. Like, I almost feel like, that's acceptable because they earn the right to do that. But before the fight, when they're talking trash, that turns me off. I'm like, man, you guys are in the same boat. You're all just trying to make money. And you dissing the other guy for no apparent reason. You might not even know the other guy. Like, I'm looking online. I see, like, John Jones and Corey Anderson going at it. And I'm thinking, what are they going at it for? They don't even know each other.
I know. That's weird, too, because it's also not – it's not in Corey's wheelhouse to even do that. So it's sort of like one thing, if you're really good at it, then it's, like, funny. But if you're not, it comes across like, okay, I see what you're doing, and it's kind of like, I'm not buying it, you know?
Yeah, and 100%. Like, when Colby first came out and started doing his whole thing, you know, I know the people that's kind of, like, to kind of help him out a little bit, like, give him a little, you know, change his image a little bit. And I was like, man, he needs a lot of work because he's just not selling it enough. And you're right. Like, if you can't sell it, if that's not who you are, you need to just be quiet and let your fight and do the talking. Like, Pedro Munhoz don't say a word. He let his fight and do the talking. And that's how some guys need to be.
Now, when you fought Mayorga and he was going – or when you almost fought Mayorga and he was talking all that shit to you, was that planned? Was he a nice guy off camera?
Yeah, it wasn't – like, he didn't come to me beforehand and go, hey, man, listen, we about to do this. Nah, it was kind of weird because, like, I had never met him. And I was sitting in – like, right before the press conference, I was sitting in there just chilling. And I could hear him from the street talking trash, just coming up. And the trash talk was getting louder and louder by the moment. And when he got in there, he just went all in on me. And I was unprepared for that. I didn't know. I really didn't know what to do because, like, in MMA at that time, that wasn't, like, the thing. Like, we just fought. So I was unprepared for that. But it didn't bother me because as soon as it was over and the cameras were off, we took pictures. I took pictures with his mother. We signed autographs. It was cool, man. So I was kind of like, man, this guy is good at what he does.
Okay. But then it did look like, I know that you said you dropped down for a double leg. It looked like he almost got you with that karate chop to the chest.
Well, you know what? Like, I felt his finger graze my lip. And that's what it was. Like, everybody's like, oh, man, he knocked him down. Like, that never crossed my mind until afterwards when the video came out and everybody was like, oh, man, he knocked you down. I was like, what were you talking about? Like, for me, it was like, I felt it graze my lip, and then I just kind of went back, and then I was going to try to shoot. And, I mean, I guess it looked bad, but, yeah, it just grazed my lip. He ain't try to hurt me or try to do anything like that.
Now, speaking of Colby, so he's fighting Robbie Lawler this week. I can't wait for this fight. I'm a little nervous because that guy's a really hard guy to look good against, Robbie Lawler. You train with both these guys. How do you see this fight going down?
Man, I got to tell you, man, like, it's stylistically, it's a favorable matchup for a guy like Robbie because Robbie is super explosive. And when Robbie has his moments where he's just, like, on fire attacking guys, not a lot of guys can deal with that. Now, Colby, on the other hand, he's got more of a gas tank where he can sustain a certain pressure for a longer amount of time. But that's going to be hard to do against a guy like Robbie because Robbie's so good defensively, and then he just turns on them explosive moments. So I think it's kind of a favorable matchup for Robbie. But you never know, man. Colby has done everything he said he could do and more. So I think he's maybe even overachieved at this point in his career. But I don't know, man. It's a good fight, and I can't wait to see it.
But you spar with both guys, right?
Yeah, I've worked with both guys before. But, I mean, it was a while ago, so it's really hard to kind of judge based on when I was working with them. But, you know, and obviously, like, in camp, are they working on new things? I don't know. But it's going to be an interesting fight. It could really go either way. I mean, this is one of the matchups where you almost think, like, both guys have to fight, or they have to fight, like, 10 times to see who's really the better guy.
Now, lately, Colby has been saying that he thinks Robbie is on some stuff because he's gotten so much bigger and stronger later on in his career. He's like, who the hell looks like that in their late 30s? Do you think it's Colby making excuses or getting in Robbie's head, or do you think there's any truth to that?
No, I think he's just getting in Robbie's head. Like, I don't know. Like, Robbie always comes – like, I think, you know, Robbie's taking the high road a little bit on, like, all the trash talk, and which is, I think, a good thing for a guy like Robbie because he definitely – he's the type of guy, again, he doesn't talk a lot of trash. He lets his fight and do the trash talking for him. But, you know, I think Colby's just trying to get under his skin, and that's what Colby does best. He's selling the fight. He's trying to get Robbie, you know, to make mistakes and do something uncharacteristic of Robbie. But I don't know, man. It's an interesting fight. But here's another thing, too, I was thinking about, too, is, like, I don't know, man. Sometimes I think, like, Robbie, you know, he fights black people differently. And Colby, you know what I'm saying? Robbie fights black people a little different. Like, he don't come at him the same way. That's why I think he's just going to attack Colby and run up on Colby like, what?
There are certain guys, like Walt Harris, I don't think has ever lost to a white guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a racial component to MMA that, like, a lot of people like to sweep under the rug. But I think you got to take it into account sometimes.
Now, do you think that the UFC or Dana doesn't like certain guys like Ben Askren or Woodley or Colby because of their, like, hard to deal with, or they talk shit about Dana, so then he puts up against Robbie Lawler? Like he's the guy that, like, is like, all right, we're going to get these – I want to get rid of these guys, and they have to fight Robbie.
I don't think so, man, honestly. Like, sometimes – it looks like that sometimes, and sometimes you can kind of make that argument that they don't like guys. But you got to understand, man, some guys just don't want to fight sometimes. So they kind of have to make the matches with what they got because some guys are harder to deal with. So sometimes it's just like, oh, you know, like a guy like – Santiago Ponzinibbio, who's a great fighter, is like, man, I don't want to fight him. I want to fight him. So they can't make certain matches because a lot of guys just don't want to fight other guys. But it always looks like it's Dana and, you know, Sean Shelby making those decisions. But sometimes they can't force guys to fight, so they got to make the matches with what they got.
Now, you think Colby will end up fighting? If Colby wins, you think they're going to try to put Colby versus Masvidal?
I don't know, man. I would love to see that, though. But that's a fight that I think favors Masvidal, man. Masvidal, I think he's just, you know, against certain opponents, man, Masvidal's always going to look fantastic. And I think a guy, like, if he fights a guy like Colby, I think he beats a guy like Colby up.
Even though, like, when they wrestled in some hotel room, it looked like Colby was winning?
Yeah, probably. I mean, probably. But, like, that's just wrestling in the hotel room, you know. But I think in a real fight, in terms of, like, a real fight, I think Masvidal is the superior fighter.
Now, also, are you getting Poirier ready for Khabib?
Yeah, a little. Not, like, I'm not, like, fully in his camp. Like, a lot of fighters, I don't work fully in their camp. I serve as kind of a consultant for them sometimes. And I'm helping Poirier a little bit with this fight so that, you know, give him a better chance. And this is like, and this is good for me too, because me and Mike Brown don't get to work together a lot. And it's kind of unfortunate because I think we both do our thing. So this is a fight where we're going to work together a little bit more. You know, this is an important fight for Poirier. And if anybody deserves this opportunity, it's him. I mean, we watched this kid come up through the dirt, through the trenches, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I think it's, yeah. And, you know, you want to see a guy like that win because he represents all of us. So you want to see a guy like that win.
Now, it seems like everybody that fights Khabib says, yeah, you know, even like guys that like were great wrestlers in high school or college are like, it's a different kind of wrestling, different kind of strength. It's just a different animal. I've never felt a guy like that before. How do you get a guy like Poirier ready for that?
Well, they're right about that, man. I've watched a lot of Khabib's fights, man. He just manhandles guys. Like, he's something else, man. He's a powerhouse. I think the biggest thing that people make mistakes on is they care too much about weight and training. And you watch guys, oh, I don't want to train with him. He's a little too big. I think when you fight a guy like Khabib, you actually have to bring in bigger, stronger guys in a weight class or two above you and wrestle those guys. You have to get used to that pressure, that strength, and learn how to deal with that because – you know, if you're like, I think that guys that fight Khabib, they're wrestling guys their weight, thinking that it's going to be the same thing. And Khabib is a little bit too good for that. And not only is he powerful, he's also a dynamic transitional wrestler. Like, his transitions are on point, on the money, whenever he needs them. So, like, you know, Dustin's got a lot of work to do as far as, like, being able to deal with all those problems.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, I guess you guys probably have a lot of guys, though, from Russia over there that could probably sort of emulate Khabib's style.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but, you know, you can, you know, the thing is you got to break those things down. But, and also, too, is you can't really ask those guys to do that because Khabib is like a hero over there. And some of those guys might not be willing to help. I mean, I don't know, like, I'm not, like I said, I'm not in charge of his camp, but I would assume that probably some of those Russian guys are not, you know, willing to help just because Khabib is a hero. They don't want to get involved. So, but we can, we'll make work.
Come back and tell Khabib what Dust is doing.
Yeah, that too. So we, and you know, that's a problem with a lot of camps, man, especially a camp like ours, because we got so many bodies, man. We're, you know, Brazilians, Russians, Dagestani, Polish guys.
No, it's great. I mean, your camp, you guys are really on the rise. I mean, not on the rise. You guys are the top of the world. You guys are the best camp for the last couple of years, which is really cute, by the way. Last year when you took your son with you to the MMA Awards, that was really cool.
Man, well, yeah, thanks, man. I try to get him out to experience these things, man. Like, I'm in a position where, you know, I got one son. I want him to do the right thing, and I don't want him to end up, you know, just playing video games all damn day. So I'm trying to expose him to as much as I possibly can and let him know that, man, there's a lot more in the world than just sitting at home. So I like to expose him to those different type of things and different type of people.
You also, I mean, for a while, everyone kept saying that you and Eve Edwards, they kept confusing you guys. And then I don't know if that's why you gained 100 pounds.
Nah, man, you're right about that. We used to, like, we could get confused a lot. And Eve, I think one time, man, he was hitting on somebody's girl and said that it was me. You know what I'm saying? So I got something for Eve for doing me like that. Eve, I got you.
but then you lost it. You lost about 50 pounds.
Yeah. Well, man, you know, like, the problem is, like, I tried to gain weight because I started working with a lot of heavier guys. So, you know, when I was like 170 pounds, man, getting tossed around by 200-pound guys, man, it was like, man, I can't deal with this. So I had to gain weight, and then I gained too much weight, so I was so damn fat. I'd be on my back like a turtle, man. Like, I couldn't move my legs. My stomach was getting in the way. So I was like, man, I got to get in damn shape. So I feel like I'm all right now, Adam. I'm good to go, baby. Yeah.
Now I was like, cause before I'd be like, yo, this is one of the best fighters in the world, and people were like, Oprah? I'm like, no, man.
I'm not Precious.
Yeah, Precious. Right, I had that song, and I said, you look like Precious.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're so stupid, man. Adam, you crazy.
That was so funny. Now, the Cyborg fight. So you got Nunez ready for Cyborg, right?
Yeah, again, I help consult with her for that fight. You know, doing a little bit of studying and just making sure she's on the right track and on the same page. I mean, but Amanda, she blows my mind. Like, I honestly, her last two fights, I didn't even expect her. You know, like, she blows my mind with her level of competence in terms of performance. Like, she goes out there and just, even if it's not what we worked on, she goes out there and executes perfectly. So she blows my mind. She's an amazing fighter.
But it seems like you guys knew exactly what the Cyborg was going to do.
Yeah. I mean, we know. I mean, when you study somebody and, you know, they have tendencies, they normally give you what you want. They have tendencies. But the thing is, like, if they don't do what they do best, they're going to be doing something different that they're not very good at. And we also expect that too. So, I try to adopt different habits from, like, different sports, like football. And especially, like, working with Greg now, I mean, it's really opened my eyes up to how strategic coaches in the NFL are. So, like, I try to take that same approach to MMA and just be as strategic and just so thorough with the training so that nothing goes unturned.
No, I mean, it's crazy because I think about that Ben Askren fight. It's like Mike Brown knew exactly where Ben's head was going to be the exact second. And it was like, oh, my God. Like, that would not have worked out more perfectly. To the fact where, like, the fact that Masvidal was so relaxed after he did it. I mean, I almost would have been like, holy shit, that actually worked. You know, I like, there's no way that's going to work. And it worked to a T. It was insane.
Well, if you look back at some of Ben's fights, I mean, even his fight against Robbie Lawler, he did the same exact thing. He just drops his head in that same spot. And another thing, too, which is why it doesn't surprise me, if you watch Ben wrestle, he has a hard time with guys that are explosive. And they shoot, like, again, when he fought Jordan Burroughs, or he wrestled Jordan Burroughs, like, Jordan Burroughs is able to just shoot them power doubles, and Ben can't stop him. He just doesn't have the reaction to stop those shots.
Yeah.
He can out-wrestle you once you get in, but with that one shot, he don't have the reaction time. So when you run and jump up on him, he didn't have the reaction time to get out of the way. The only thing he could do was drop his head, and he dropped his head right into that knee.
Now, do you think that would have happened, let's say, 7 years ago when Ben was in Bellator running shit?
Absolutely. I think that's like his Achilles. Like, he has to be able to stop something like that. Now, obviously, now he knows that it can come. I think now he knows that, I better do something different to get in because these guys are going to be running at me, throwing flying knees. But Ben is the best competitor I've ever seen. He's got an answer for that already, I promise you.
Yeah, no, I felt so bad for him. I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, yeah, same with the Robbie Lawler fight. In the first 12 seconds, I was like, maybe he shouldn't be in the UFC.
I know. No, it's a weird thing, man. Like, if you jump on – like, I've watched him do that in training. Like, guys just jump on him and him look like he's behind, and then, like, 2 minutes later, he's on top, and the guy's, like, begging to get out of there. That's just his style. But, you know, it's just the way his style is. And, like, in the UFC, it's kind of unforgiving because the guys are so good that, you know, sometimes you can't get out of the hole that you put yourself in. Now, with Robbie, he barely got out of that hole. With Masvidal, he couldn't get out of the hole. It was too fast.
Now, you're talking about Greg Hardy. A lot of people are against Greg Hardy being in the UFC. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay. Like, he didn't get a, I mean, I don't know what happened. And, you know, obviously I don't condone any kind of, you know, beating up women. That's the lowest of the low. But, you know, what's his name? Says everyone deserves a second chance. Dana White says that. A lot of athletes have had second chances. What's it like working with Greg Hardy and, like, the whole circus around it, and also just working with Greg Hardy?
Man, he's good to work with, you know, and that's kind of what I care about in terms of work. I mean, I didn't know him then, so I don't know what went on, like you, like anybody else. I just know what I see now and how he treats other people around me. Like, if he was only good to me and treated other people around me like crap, then I would be like, man, I can't work with this guy. But everybody he that he's around and all the people I know that, he works with, he's good to everybody. And like I said, that he's used to being coached. So in terms of coaching him as an athlete, he's the type of guy you go jump, says how high, and then he just starts jumping. Like that's what he likes. That's what he does. That's what he's groomed to do. So he's great to work with. Like I wouldn't have it any other way. Like he's one of my favorite guys to work with in that regard. Because some guys you work with, they only want to do what they want to do. They're, hey, man, we're going to train today. Ah, you know, I want to take the day off. All right, no problem. Greg, you got to train today. I'm tired, coach, but I'm going to show up anyway. And that's just his attitude. So I love working with the kid.
What's up, people? Football, are you ready? Get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, betonline.ag. Sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus reward on your first deposit and start betting on your favorite pro or college team. Bet on every spread, every total, every winner or loser. Bet on who the first starting quarterback to be benched will be. Bet on who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Get the fastest odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, betonline.ag. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to join today and use the promo code CLNS50 and get your 50% off welcome bonus, okay? Please see BetOnline's general rules for additional terms and conditions. A minimum deposit of $55 is required to qualify for the bonus. All right, check it out. BetOnline.ag. Football. How much fun is that? Okay. You're going to love it. I'm going to love it. BetOnline.ag.
Now, as far as the word on the street was, his ground game was rough. His ground game. Is it getting better? Is it good? Was that just rumors? Talk to me.
Again, it's one of those things where, like, if you put him in a jiu-jitsu tournament, he's not going to do very well. So I'm not concerned with that. You know, my goal is to create hacks for MMA in terms of how to grapple. And I think we've been doing a pretty good job of that. We're still building on his ground game. But first thing was first is that, you know, we got to make sure he's defensively responsible. So we worked on his defense. Now we're working on some different chokes and different arm bars and things like that. So eventually he's going to get there. But, you know, it takes time. I don't think of it. Like if you wrestled for 3 years, like how good would you be? I mean, this guy's been fighting in the highest level for over a year now. And he's only been training MMA for 3 years. So
it's incredible.
I mean, yeah, it's amazing.
There's a couple guys out there now. There's another guy who's NFL. He made the NFL. I think he made Alonzo Mayfield. Another guy. That's,
yeah.
They're just a different kind of athlete. Explosiveness.
Yeah.
You know, but this guy's got a bounty on his head. I mean, Greg Hardy. People want to fight him because they think number one, he's a name. Number two, they think his weaknesses. You know, he's not that experienced. And number three, they want the, you know, there's a certain like self righteousness of beating up a guy like that. So he's got.
Yeah, I get it, man.
But he handles it very well.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's used to that pressure. Like, he's been playing sports all his life, so he's used to pressure. But I get it. I get why people think he's an easy target. But I also feel like he's low hanging fruit for people to pick on. So, you know, I always feel like people spend too much time worried about other people's lives and trying to correct Greg Hardy and make him, you know, tell him he's this and dog him for that. Man, listen, people just need to mind their own business and worry about themselves, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, obviously Dana and them, you know, Dana wouldn't have signed him if he didn't see something in him. You know, Dana's not just going to give somebody a contract. And so that's just not his style, you know? I mean, look how hard it was for other people to get in there. He's just like, no thanks. So, I mean, Dana's obviously a fan. And like you said, you wouldn't be working with a guy like that. Now, what's it like, I mean, watching him compete with Mako, what's that like?
Oh, Mako's on a different level. Like, he can't wrestle with Mako. You kidding me?
I know, but I would love to see it, though.
Yeah, he can't.
Mako's throwing everybody around. Like, you know, like Mako. Yeah, the only thing about Mako is that he can't masturbate because his arms are too short. But other than
that, I know, like, his arms are just like, they just got to poke out.
Yeah.
No, Mako is something else, man. Mako is probably the best pure grappler, not pure jiu-jitsu, but pure grappler that American Top Team has ever had. Nobody can compete with him. You know, nobody can. He beats up everybody in terms of, like, once we do grappling rounds and things like that. Like, Mako just beats up everybody. So
even, like, Hector Lombard
Marco beat up everybody. I mean, it's not even a question.
Now, according to Colby Covington, nobody can hang with him in jiu-jitsu, an American top team. Even Ricardo Libero, he says that he's, they all say, Colby, you're on a different level, and that he's a super black belt.
Again, I know his writing team. That's good.
he said he's a super black belt, and that jiu-jitsu itself is one big Ponzi scheme.
Kobe's just being Kobe. You can't deny Kobe is a really good grappler. I can't deny that. Kobe's a great grappler. He's really good. He's got great balance and great instincts, and he's really tight in terms of his squeeze. He's a great grappler. You can't deny that. But he's not the best grappler that American top team's ever seen.
But one of the funny things about him is that guy, like, I remember Astrin telling me that when he was coaching a kid at ASU, was wrestling against Colby in college, and Colby was beating up the kid and then got in Astrin's face and goes, you don't want none of this. This is like in college wrestling. And Astrin was the coach. And he's like, shut up. What are you talking like?
Listen, that's Colby, man. Colby's like a bad kid. He's a bad kid. Like, he needs to be put in punishment, I think, sometimes. But he can fight, man. Listen, Colby can fight.
Now, do you ever hang out with him and those porn stars?
Nah. I don't even know where he does that. It's weird. Like, I look on the internet and I see Colby with porn stars and doing all this crazy stuff. I don't even know where that comes from.
And then Kayla Harrison, right? This girl, I love that girl. But she's fucking, like, talk about, like, because I was like, Kayla, you're probably going to win $1 million. And she's like, probably? I was like, well, I don't want to jinx you. And she's like, what do you mean jinx me? I'm going to win that. I'm like, hey, okay, all right, I got to go. Like, she's a...
Yeah, she's a great competitor too, man. Like, she's really, really a strict competitor and hard on herself in terms of, you know, being excellent. Yeah, it's inspiring, though, because when she's training, like, she won't do something bad. She'll have to do it over and over and over until she corrects herself. So yeah, she's fun to be around. She's a good person. Just an overall good person.
I like her and her boyfriend Rocco.
Yeah.
When she gets hand jobs, probably like one pump squirts with her arms. I said that from the stage. She was dying laughing. But no, I like Kayla. But do you ever like wonder, like, tell her, hey, listen. Because I know when I coach girls, obviously I never coach anyone on the level of even Kayla, but a lot of times they're too hard on themselves, and I got to build them back up and say, relax, you're doing great. Don't beat yourself up. Because I remember she won a fight, I think it was like 30-26, and she was crying afterwards. To like ease up on herself?
No, I mean, I don't – soon I'm going to start working with her more. But I don't really work with her all that much. But I am going to start working with her a little more. But yeah, that's one of the things that I'm gonna tell her. But sometimes you don't really want to interfere with their process too much, though, because like that's how they operate. So I'm not going to interfere with her process too much. But I'm going to let her know that it's okay. That you're not going to be perfect, but you can't let that affect you.
Yeah, but you don't want to. It's like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah. Because I don't want to start being like, hey, don't worry about it. And then she starts making mistakes and then, like, never corrects them again. And it goes, well, you told me it was okay. I don't want that neither.
Right. Do you ever get people that you coach that – because I know when I coach wrestling sometimes, I would get really close to some of these kids. And then their parents would start calling me up and say, hey, Carson won't go to sleep. And I'm like, come on. It's like 9 o'clock at night. Why are you calling me? I'm not the father. The father's not there. That's the problem. But do you ever have that with you? Like some of the people you coach get too, like – they trust you too much almost where you become like their parent?
All of them, actually. I tell you what, you know, me and Will Brooks were talking about this the other day. You know, as a coach, I think the majority of my job is psychological and helping them, you know, because my job isn't really to teach them how to fight. I mean, that's part of it. But my job is so that they show up and give the performance that they want. And a part of that is making sure that they're right emotionally and mentally. So I'm constantly on my people emotionally and helping them deal with problems in life and so on and so forth. Now, they're older, so I don't ever have to deal with their parents, but just with them, it's like constantly,
you know, dealing with their problems, because, you know, fighters are, a lot of them are like broken people.
Yeah, it's like strippers who could like fight.
Yeah, it is. fighters are just strippers. That's all they are.
Yeah, they're kind of comedians too. We're kind of all in that same triangle of like fucked upness.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what we're doing. Now, as far as
they've always been polite to me. They've always.
What was that?
My fault. That was my radio. My bad.
Oh, okay. Now, as far as Amanda Nunez's girlfriend,
Nina Anzorov.
Nina Anzorov, who was looking amazing, unbeatable, and she ran into Tatiana Suarez. Were you surprised by that outcome? What did you
No, think? I wasn't. You know, I had made a statement a couple years ago and said that Nina was, you know, Nina is the best 115-pounder we got in our gym. And I said that even with Joanna there. I said, I think Nina's the best 115-pounder we got. She underperforms a lot. But then she kind of found her groove. She found her rhythm, and she went on this run of winning all these fights. And I thought, I was like, man, Nina's the best 115-pounder out there. But then I also said that Tatiana Suarez was the best 115-pounder out there. And then when they fought, I was like, oh, no, this is kind of a bad matchup for Nina, just because Tatiana Suarez has a style that you can't really get from a lot of other girls. So you're not really going to be prepared for that. I mean, her wrestling, I mean, she's like Khabib, really. Like her transitionally, she's just nonstop and relentless. And she's going to give anybody a problem in three rounds, maybe even five rounds. But in three rounds, she's going to give anybody a problem. So I knew it would be kind of a tough matchup for Nina. I thought Nina did a great job of being able to fight her to the best of her ability, but she got going a little too late. If she got going a little earlier, she may have been able to pull it off.
And do her and Nunez ever get into fights in the gym, and that's like and you have to like separate it, and then they.
Nah, man, they not. Like, if they fight, that's got to be, like, something hidden, because they never seem to have problems. They never do. Like, they're like, the best couple ever. Like, I envy that relationship. Like, I don't have that relationship with nobody, the relationship that they have. They have the wow. best relationship, it seems like.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess the key is to not speak the language.
Yeah.
Fight with your other. Now, one of our mutual friends, Tyron Woodley, I love Tyron. Obviously, you love Tyron. The last fight, I remember when you guys were training for the fight before that. You were at a UFC event. You left before the main event because you're like, Tyron's got to work out. I'm like, but we're here. You're like, I got to go. So against Darren
yeah.
Till. And
yeah.
You came out and you guys murdered Darren Till. Usman, I didn't I wasn't in camp. Tyron said he had his camp was perfect. Looking back, you think it was just a bad night?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a bad night. Like, I gotta say this, like, you know, the camps are never perfect. You know, like that's the camps are going to be as good as they're going to be. But it wasn't really any difference with this camp as it was with any other camp. He just didn't show up, man. Like, I really don't know what it was. It's just, you know, every four or five fights, Tyron just doesn't show up, and it's like, but it just happened to be that night against Usman, and it just sucks because I've seen that in his face before when he fought Rory McDonald, where it's like, oh no, do I have to smack him in the corner? But he just didn't show up, and he just got to eat it, and he's got to be reminded by it constantly, which is bad because I know he wants to get it back.
Do you think it was a whole white people thing? Like, he's better against white people, but the Rory's
that could be it too, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I think, but is Usman the first black guy he's fought in a while?
You think Black Lives Matter too much where he doesn't want to hurt them?
Yeah, that might have been it, because the only other black dude I know he fought, well, the two black dudes he fought were Jay Haran and Josh Koscheck, and they light skinned, so they don't really count.
Yeah, right?
And he knocked them out, so yeah.
Yeah.
So that don't count.
Yeah, they only left half a round, so they're like light
skinned. Yeah. But nah, man, I don't know, man. Like, I wish I could go back and find out what was going inside of his head that night, because he just wasn't there. Like, I mean, I'm literally, like, when he got taken down that first time, I was like, wait a minute, what is, like, I've never seen him get taken down like that before in practice by anybody in 10 years. And I'm just, I don't know what was going on in his head.
Now, is he training now? Is he ready?
Well, he's training a little bit. Like, he's just staying in shape, but he's still, like, he still has hand problems. He needs to figure out what he's going to do with his hand. His hand is still giving him problems. He hasn't figured that out yet. I think he might need another surgery. That's the problem.
Now, some people say, like, the acting classes and TMZ and the movies and the 12 rap albums were kind of a distraction. But he's like, listen, you know, that's better than that, going out at the club chasing pussy. At least I'm being productive and I'm building my future. And I could see that argument, you know. Have you ever said to him, like, hey, man, we got to focus, like, no more rapping, or just, like, that's not your place?
Well, no, here's the thing, though, and Adam, like, you got to understand, like, when guys, when they train, like, you know, guys will wake up, they'll train 2 hours and go to chill out and do whatever, they go to the beach, hang out or whatever, and come back and maybe do another hour at night. So, I mean, literally, like, if you put in the amount of time that you train, like, actual training, let's say it's 3 hours. Now, what are you doing with the rest of that time? Like, who knows? Like, you do whatever you want with the rest of that time. He just happens to be doing other high-level things, you know? So he puts his time into training. It's just he doesn't spend a lot of time just goofing off or going to the club, like you said, or playing video games. Like, while guys are playing video games, he's out hustling, like, working on an album.
Right. No, that's so true. I mean, that's what I think, too. He's never out of shape. So, you know, it wasn't like, and his cardio has gotten better over the years. Like, even against the Usman fight, I don't think he was gassed. Or was he gassed?
No, he wasn't gassed. He just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah. He sometimes, I guess, people say, like, they're their own worst enemy. You know, I was worried about Askren with that, though. But you know what Tyron said to me, though? Because I was like, yo, I'm a little worried about Ben. He's like buying cryptocurrency before the fight, or he's doing this, or he's making, you know, all these things he's making. And he's like, dude, that's Ben. He's like, we used to be in college wrestling and be like, yo, Ben, you got a match in 2 minutes. And then he would go pin, like, the best guy in like, the league. And that's what Rufus said, that, like, one time before his Bellator fight, he was putting people in cradles in, like, the locker room and right before he, like, went out and fought. So
yeah, man. Ben is remarkable in terms of doing that. I remember we were at the Feli National Grappling Championships. It was 2009. And he was just chilling, just making jokes and laughing and clowning around. And he goes, oh, I got a match coming up right now. And he works this guy over just easily, just runs the table on this guy. Turns out it was Jacob Volkman. And I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Yeah, Ben is remarkable.
Wow. I mean, have you ever seen guys that have that problem where they're almost the opposite? They're too focused and too thinking about it, and you got to tell them to go out and have fun or go bowling or get laid or something?
Oh, yeah. That's a big problem. You know, like when you're, because that's when they start overthinking too much. You get fighters, they start overthinking too much. And for me, I'm always like, listen, nothing's going to happen. It's the end of the world. So just go out there and have fun. You know, you're here to have fun. When the fight was announced 2 months ago, you were excited, you were happy. Now the fight is here. Now you want to be nervous and start overthinking. Just go out there and have fun. Pretend it was 2 months ago when the fight was announced.
That's what I tell my kids too. I'm like, I always tell my kids before the wrestling matches, they're like, any advice? I'm like, just go out there. You did all the work in practice.
Yeah.
I'm like, the work's done. Now it's the fun part. So
yeah, just have fun. If you're better, you're going to win. If you're not better, you're probably going to lose. That's what it is.
Now, Andrei Arlovsky was on like a 12 fight losing streak. I mean, I think at one point I beat him. And then he went to American Top Team, and he's a fucking killer. Have you been working with him?
Nah, that's Mike Brown's guy. I don't work with Andre. I just started actually talking to the guy. Like, he's a serious cat, man. He's kind of mean sometimes, man. He walks around the gym, and he doesn't say nothing to nobody. He just looks at it. He gives you this look. And, like, he just now started, like, he don't smile. He just give you a little fist bump or a head nod. But I'm like, Andre, man, I've known you since 2001. And you still won't say hi to me? Yeah, he's a wild one. But now he can fight, though, man.
Did you help get JDS ready for his last fight, even though it didn't go as well against Ngannou?
A little bit. Again, he's another one of my guys that, like, I try to help out in terms of consulting. But he kind of had his whole camp ran by his Brazilian guys. Like, he had a bunch of Brazilian guys come up and run his camp.
Now, how do you?
Those are his old guys.
No, I didn't realize that American Top Team, because I was talking to a guy who got kicked out of American Top Team for smoking weed in like the dorm.
Yeah.
And also for bringing, you can't bring girls back to the dorms or smoke weed in the dorms.
No, you can't do that. No, we won't let that. You can't do any of that. You can't smoke weed. You can't drink. You can't bring girls over.
I mean, this sounds like a military school.
But you know what? Like, the thing is, like, it's, you know, to be in the dorm, man, we're expecting you to be focused. Like, if you want to be able to do all that stuff, you got to be able to find your own way. You know, you got to go get you a hotel room. I mean, honestly, like, we're like, the dorms are for like our UFC guys or our high level guys. And it's almost like if you're in there too long, man, like, man, make, get some money. Like, the purpose so you can fight, compete, get money, and then move out so you don't have to be in a dorm.
Right.
So, yeah, so, like, if you're just chilling in a dorm smoking weed, like, to me, that's a kind of a sign of laziness anyway. Like, you need to get up out of there.
I love that, though. That's why you guys have, like, trained. Team Alpha Male has, like, keg parties and, like, they're, like, running trains on girls in there.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, man. We're not trying to run that type of operation, man. Like, our thing is serious, especially, like, again, like, we got, like, the Russian dudes coming around, man. Like, them dudes don't talk. The Dagestani guys, they don't talk, man. They all about business. And if they all about business, like, Kyoji, you heard Gucci's up there, he all about business. You got a guy coming in there smoking weed, bringing girls back, man, that's going to disrupt the process.
Dude, when Horiguchi beat Caldwell twice, I was like, what is, I would have bet the house on Darren Caldwell.
Nah, man, I got to tell you, of all the fighters we got in the gym, Kyoji's the best one. Like, he's the best fighter I've ever seen in terms of, like, totality of, like, when you combine skill, conditioning, mentality, work ethic, you know, just overall everything, he's the best fighter I've ever seen.
Wow. That's, yeah. Awesome. That's good to hear. He seems like a nice guy, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody works harder than that kid. Nobody is more fit than that kid. Like, he's... Like, if you were to put all them things on a chart, like, he's up at the top of everything. Like, even a guy like Tyron don't have his work ethic. Tyron got, like, they got similar athleticism, but, like, Tyron don't got the work ethic like him. Like, he's just, yeah, all he want to do is train.
Not the big butt Tyron has, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah, right?
Like, I mean, if like, Tyron lost his ass, he'd be, like, 115.
I know. It's weird, right? He looked like a Minotaur when he walks. Like, his ass just, like, boom. Boom,
like when
boom.
Women get like, butt injections, they bring Tyron's picture. They're like, oh,
I know, right? Him and Will Brooks, man, they both got the same ass.
Fuck, I feel so bad. Will Brooks, he has the worst luck in the history of luck.
I know.
He didn't tap last fight. That he didn't tap. He was
no, like, he didn't.
What was that? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. Well, you heard what they did, man. They like changed the refs out like the day of because they didn't pay the other refs, so they got like new refs who probably didn't know what the hell they were doing.
One fighter got paid on a whole card.
Yeah, I heard they did that the last card.
I know, but people are like, "Well, what happened before?" I'm like, it "Doesn't matter, what happened before." These guys, like, you know, that's even more instead of why they should pay people this time.
I know. I know.
I feel Brian Caraway finally gets a win, and then he can't collect any money. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's terrible. And you can't do nothing because it's all the way in China. What are you going to do?
I don't know, man. You got to talk to Haraguchi. Tell him to talk to his people. I think he's from Japan. But
he's from Japan. I make that mistake all the time.
I like me, man. I was being dumb racist on purpose.
Yeah, me too.
So it seems like you work with, like, 90% women at your gym. Is there like, a pattern here?
No. The problem was, so when I first joined them, I always was with American Top Team, but when I was brought on as a coach, there were just, like, a lot of girls who weren't getting a lot of attention. Like, this was about the same time when, like, Ronda was coming up. So that's, like, when all the girls started getting attention, when women's MMA started coming up more. So that's kind of – so, like, and there was all these girls running around the gym that just had nobody to work with them. So I was like – and I had just became a coach. So I was like, well, I'll work with you. And that's kind of how it started. So between me and – we have another coach, Marcos D'Amata, Pajon Pena. He works with a lot of the women, too, because, like, they really had nobody to work with them. So, you know, we just kind of took it upon ourselves to give them some –
American Tap Team for a while because you were tapping everybody.
Nah, man, I don't go that route. That's dangerous.
Keep it very professional.
Yeah, that's dangerous, man. You can't mess around like that. I don't mess around that way.
No, of course not. That's the first. I see coaches do it all the time, and it's the first way to lose a gym. You know?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's like you don't. Plus, you don't need that headache. I mean, girls are already crazy. You don't need girls that can fight that you're training. It's just too much. It's too much.
And plus, like, girls in general are crazy, and then when they want to beat each other up, and they're extra crazy.
Yeah,
like,
you don't.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that in my life.
Now, I heard Hector Lombard, somebody's dad is mad at their son, brought him to the gym, and had Hector beat him up. Were you there? Was there any truth to that?
I don't know if there's truth to that, but it might have been like an indirect truth, because Hector's going to beat up anybody he trains with, one way or the other. He's going to beat him up, one way or the other. Like, you, like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, you can get, okay, Hector, we're just boxing, and Hector's going to kick you. Just the heat. Yeah. It doesn't matter. He's going to beat you up no matter what. So, I've seen him knock people out for no reason.
Really? And then, I mean, when that happens, do you come over to him and say, Hector, why you can't do that?
Well, you don't want to get knocked out either. So, you're just like... So he's just kind of like, all right, let's just pick this guy up and, you know, and tell Hector practice is over today. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah, like, man, Hector's a rough cat, man. He can fight, man. He's a rough dude.
I heard that you kicked Nick Lentz out of being a Trump supporter. Is there anything?
No, that's not true. Nick Lentz left. Nick Lentz left because he wanted to, but. Especially in our gym, are you kidding me? Like, Colby Covington's the biggest Trump supporter. Like, so we kind of share an office. Like, well, I use the office that he, like, shares with one of the employees. So I use it all the time. And in the office, he's got pictures of Trump everywhere. He's got a pen with Trump on it, a poster of Trump. It's like our gym is, like, really Trump, a lot of Trump supporters. It's weird.
Yeah, no, right. Well, there's Colby and there's Nick. And then Moscow, all the Cubans, right? They all love Trump.
Well, you know, Hector was a big Trump supporter.
Yeah, Hector was, and then I think Romero probably loves Trump.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to me.
Well, no, because I think that they don't want the country going socialist, so they look at Democrats as socialists, and they come from Cuba, which is all socialist over there, and they saw how bad it was, so they're like, fuck that, I don't want to go back to that.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, that's probably why you got like Masvidal and Romero and anybody who's from Cuba. The Cubans love Trump. And, I mean, Cubans that defected love Trump. So that's
because it didn't make sense to me why they love Trump so much. I'm like, man, do you even realize Trump don't care about you?
No, and they just like look at Bernie Sanders as like the opposition, you know?
Yeah.
That's where that's at. Which is kind of a black and white, kind of a weird way to look at it. But I could understand it, though. Once someone told me that, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. I'm glad you told me that. I learn something every day.
Now, every gym always has those girls that come in that, like, oh, I want to work out. They end up sleeping with a bunch of fighters. And then usually they don't last at the gym too long. Does American Top Team have that?
Not really. Not really. You know, most of our girl fighters are pretty serious, man. Like, they come in and they kind of either hang out with each other or got their own thing going on.
Yeah,
they're pretty serious, man. Like, our girls are pretty serious. I don't see our girls being that type to kind of bounce around and screw a bunch of guys and bounce around. We kind of, I don't know if like we indirectly regulate that, but we don't really have that as an issue.
Now, when you were growing up, you got into a fight. There was a guy that, like, stole your girlfriend. You never fought before, but you beat up the guy so bad you had to go to jail for a year every weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was to be fair, I hit him in the head with a wrench, so I kind of deserved it. So, yeah, wow. I mean, I just got out of high school. You know, when you're 17 years old, you in love, man. Like, that's your thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you in love. So he was talking a bunch of garbage.
Latin guy or?
He was a white guy.
He was a white guy. And the girl, it was a white girl too?
No, she was Spanish.
Ah, okay. Now,
yeah.
Okay. So you had a wrench. Now, couldn't you just hit him with your fist? Or why did you need a wrench for?
Well, because the wrench was in my hand. Like, if the wrench is in my hand, I'm not going to hit him with my fist.
Were you fixing a car or something? Like, why did you have a wrench in your hand?
I grabbed it out of the car. Well, you know, I was so mad, Adam. I was so mad. Like, I don't ever remember being that mad before or after that moment. Like, I was so mad, and I just hit him in the head with a wrench, and then I hit him, and it fell out of my hand. Then I just, you know, we just were scrapping, and then he ended up going to the hospital getting stitches. Then the cops came, picked me up, carted me off to jail, and then I had ended up doing 52 weekends in jail, man. Every weekend I had to show up on Friday at 6. I get out Sunday at 6. Man, those were the most miserable 48 hours of my life, man.
Wow.
Yeah, and And some of the weekends I had to go out and pick up trash. Like, we would actually wear stripes, like a 1800s gang, and we'd wear stripes and be on the side of the road picking up trash.
Wow. And this is like, and you grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, right?
Well, this was in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is in Port St. Lucie. But now, did you know a guy named Jay Schroer?
Jay Schroer?
Schroer, from the redhead curly guy on the wrestling team. He was from Wilmington, Delaware. I didn't know that because every time we had a wrestling match, he'd be like, he was in the finals. He'd be like, from Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh, really? No, I left Delaware pretty early when I was in eighth grade. I left Delaware.
Were you the only black guy in Delaware?
Nah, man, there's a lot of black people in Delaware. Like, here's what happens, man. Like the neighborhoods in Philly, as they gentrify them, all the people in the crime neighborhoods, they moved to Delaware. They moved to Wilmington, Delaware.
Wow.
Yeah, so Wilmington's kind of bad right now.
Now when you were, you got out of jail on the weekends, like, I'm never doing that. And then that's when your fight career started.
Yeah, that's when it started. Like, that's kind of what helped me have the time to focus on fighting, actually. That's kind of what, because, like, there were no gyms back then. I understand this was 1994, 1995. So there were no gyms, and, like, the UFC was just popping off. So because I couldn't leave the county, I had to stay home. So I would stay home with Paul Rodriguez. He actually fought Tony D'Souza in the UFC. I'd stay home with him, and all week we would just train in the backyard. And then on Friday, I go to jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you had richer parents, you probably would have got, like 3 hours of community service for that.
Yeah. If I was, like, a rich parents, little white kid with rich parents, I'd have got community service. But,
yeah.
But, no, I got the book for that. But, you know what? Like, honestly, looking back at it, like, it taught me a lot. Like, patience. Like, having to see something through. Like, because I was forced to do all those weekends, it taught me that I had to do what I have to do. So I had to learn discipline to be able to show up on Friday at 6 o'clock. It taught me discipline. So, I mean, like, looking back, like, it was probably the best thing for me.
Now, when you beat the guy up, did you end up getting the girl or no?
Oh, yeah. That's my son's mother.
Oh, wow. So she
actually
beat a guy with a wrench and then stayed with you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a
and gave me a son who was dancing on stage at the MMA awards last year.
Wow, that's good. Well, at least something came out of it.
Yeah.
but you had to know that it wasn't gonna last when a girl like that stays with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, I don't know. Well, we're in a small town. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, when you're in a small town, you're almost kind of like, well, this is it for me.
Are you still married now?
Yeah.
Nice. Is it hard? Because I know a lot of girls, like, throw themselves at you. Is it hard to stay loyal and stay focused?
No, you know what, man? It's not like that. Like, a lot of people, like, in MMA, a lot of people, like, think that MMA people, like, girls are throwing themselves at them and everything. It's not really like that, man. Like, when I go out, it's all dudes. It's all dudes. And the only time girls are, like, on, like guys will come up, like, hey, man, can you take a picture with my girlfriend?
Oh, God.
Otherwise, it's all, like, dudes, like, nerdy dudes.
Well, yeah, but you also hang out with that nerdy ESPN guy, so that's why, you know.
Josh Cohen?
Yeah, you hang out with a guy named Josh Cohen. What do you expect?
Yeah, well, he said the best thing about why he doesn't date fighters or female athletes. He says because when you pull off their panties, it's like pulling apart a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I hooked up with a couple fighters, but one girl was, like, super jacked. And when she was, like, give me a blowjob, I was, like, her arms were so ripped. I was like, man, this is what I would look like if I worked out and jerked off. I was, like, more impressed by her arm. I was like, damn, that looks hot. Like, I wish my arms looked like that.
See, Adam, I know you used to get it on back in the day before you was married. I know.
Back in the day, like, I had Colby Covenant's life, but I didn't pay him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. you're so stupid.
Listen, hey, man, thank you for taking the time to be on the podcast. You are the best. When am I going to see you again?
I don't know, man. Where are you at? You out in LA right now?
I'm in LA right now.
Okay, well, I'm not doing it. I got back from Vegas today. Man, you know, I might be out in Anaheim for the fight on the 17th, so maybe we can catch up then, you know what I'm saying?
That'll be great, man. I love it. Thanks a lot, man, and you're the best. Have a great week.
You too, man. I'll catch up with you. Peace.
Take care.
All right, that was Dean Thomas. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the podcast. Thanks for checking it out. Tell everyone how much you liked it. Make sure you tag Rockfin at the Rockfin on Twitter or Rockfin on Instagram and Facebook. And check me out, adamhunter.com. I got all kinds of upcoming dates. I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas. I am in, where am I? I am in Canada in September. I'm in Sacramento at the end of August. I'm also in Arizona in September. Go to adamhunter.com. All kinds of dates. Check me out. Thank you guys so much. Take care. Have a great day. Trap songs and trap dunce. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаа. Дараа стоотан дөр булаа.